Welcome to NetFront Presence. I'm Jeff Gordon of the Post-Dispatch, joined by Tom Timmerman and Jim Thomas, our intrepid beat reporters, on the eve of training camp for our heroes. Optimism in the air. And we'll start off, JT, with Robert Thomas in the fold. I think an interesting contract, a couple years, some security for Robert, but also a challenge to do a heck of a lot more, which he certainly has the potential to do.
Yeah, he hasn't reached his potential yet. I don't even think close to it. You know, he had a good 19-20 season, but regressed last year. I think he might have even earned an F on the Jeff Gordon season-ending report card. And so, yeah, he's got some work to do. I found it very interesting that it's the exact same amount of money as Jordan Kyrou got. Now, these two guys both came in at the same time, both highly touted junior players. And I think you could make the case that Kyrou passed Thomas last year. It was a breakout season for Kyrou. And you just wonder if you're Robert Thomas, if you're Robert Thomas's agent, if you're saying, no, we're not making less on this contract than Jordan Kyrou. I wonder if that was the sticking point. And in the end, he gets paid the same amount. And I guess we all live happily ever after.
They went with a 2-year deal. They could have gone longer, seeing they could have gone into Thomas's UFA years, but they stopped short of that. So this is kind of a show your stuff deal. You got 2 years, and you know they still will have the rights to him when this contract runs out. He'll still be a restricted free agent. He'll have arbitration rights, but he'll still be there. So yeah, this is a chance for Thomas in the next 2 years to prove something. I was not as down on him last year as you two apparently were, but Jordan Kyrou, way more exciting. We got to say that Kyrou's, what he does out there gets your attention. He needs to play defense a lot better. Thomas, a much better defensive player than Kyrou.
Yeah, I was a little tough on Robert, just all across the board. He just needed to make more happen. Whether it's shooting or being a bit more physical or taking away suppressing shots. The talent is undeniable, JT. And I think a lot of teams around the league were kind of sniffing the trails thinking, are the Blues going to give up on this guy? Are the Blues frustrated with this guy? I think there were some trade inquiries, but I don't think it ever got to the point where anybody wanted to make an offer sheet, because I know some folks in Calgary where some fans up there were wondering about maybe trying to get in and, give them $4 million a year and thinking the Blues wouldn't match it, which I think they would. But an interesting guy, I think, around the league. I think a lot of people view him the way Tom does. There's a real asset there, and that's just waiting to happen.
Well, a couple of frustrating things. Everyone's mentioned it, including Tom, somewhat beleaguered Tom, as early as the days in the locker room. Robert, you need to shoot the puck more. And he still doesn't. Now, what, last year was his third year in the league, right? Am I wrong? Yep. And he still doesn't. So he needs to do that, because teams are kind of laying off him now. They know he's the kind of a pass-first guy to the extreme. The other thing, and this is why I guess on the spectrum I'm more towards Jeff. I don't know if I'd given him enough, but maybe a D, because I thought he regressed in terms of his puck management, puck possession, being harder on the puck. I thought he really improved in that area in 19-20, and it wasn't quite the same last year. So, yeah, this is a big year for Thomas.
One thing he's got to get better at is faceoffs. Until he is better at those, he'll not be a true two-way center. The Blues are very reluctant to start him in the defensive end, and he's not going to be on the ice at the end of games because his risk of losing a faceoff is too high. And when you're protecting a one goal lead, if you've got a play starting in your own end, you want to get that puck. So his faceoff numbers are not good. And if he's going to become really a top two center, he's got to get better at that so they can put him out there in any situation and be comfortable with him.
Yeah, the Blues kind of bought him a year to work on that by bringing back Tyler Bozak, who can take some of those draws, really give Ryan O'Reilly a hand in creating opportunities for the Blues in their own zone, to key faceoffs, power play, key situations where he gives him a second really good option. And Braden Schenn got better, but I guess so. Robert definitely has to get better. I want to talk a little bit about a couple guys in on a tryout. Both guys are interesting. Both guys well past their prime. James Neal, a former, you know, regular 20-goal scorer, a finisher around the net, power play asset, once upon a time scored 40 back in the day when he had tremendous line mates. Maybe has a little bit left, maybe not. Michael Frolik, a penalty killer, a long run of consistent play, two-way play. But again, he too is past his prime and didn't play much last year in Montreal. JT, your thought? I mean, is this – I look at one thing. I look at maybe James Neal. Is there a chance to maybe light the Zach Sanford fire a bit there? You know, and here's what I'm thinking. You know, they're going to – if they're going to keep 91, they need cap space. I think Sanford's has got a circle around him. He's got to do more, and maybe Neal at 750 could replace Sanford if push came to shove.
Well, a couple things here. One, I think there's a lot more of these veterans without jobs that are signing these PTO deals now around the league as camp starts because of the cap. You looked at the UFAs that were still out there. And it was definitely an old man's club in the league. It was all 30 over guys. And the other thing, you know, the Blues have lost Hoffman. They've lost Schwartz. They've lost Dunn. So Hoffman, easily their top power play guy. Schwartz was an effective power play guy, although ideally he played more in the second unit. And Dunn, really for the last couple of years, had been your quarterback of the number two unit and occasionally jumping up on the first. So you probably could use some help on the power play. So yeah, do these guys have more than fumes left? We'll see. You know, Neal's even not last year, but the year before, still scored 19 goals. I mean, he had only five last year, but didn't play a ton of games. Frolik, I'm just not sure there. Bozak, having him back really brings you one of your top power play guys. And, you know, obviously you're not going to have Sundquist at the start of the year, but you know, maybe it's worth a look to help the power play. Certainly, given maybe some of these younger guys, not just Sanford, but maybe guys like Costin and Joshua, who are, you know, hoping to push for a roster spot, certainly gives them something to think about.
I just don't see how either of these guys are going to fit. I mean, I think if you've got, you know, These are two guys that don't have a lot of years left. They may not have any years left. And moving out a younger guy to fit them in, it just seems like it isn't a net gain on the play. If you thought maybe you were one guy away, I don't know if either of these guys are the one guy away. I think it gives them more competition in camp. I think, you know, if you start seeing a bunch of injuries, if you look back on the history of Blues and PTOs, you know, that's where they've used guys, is where Scotty Upshall famously came back, two straight PTOs for him. But I just don't see where they fit other than saving you money by being low cost players. But I don't know that there's a big net gain from either of these guys.
Well, you say that, Tom, but and JT, I think the loss of Jacob Delarose on the PK once or twice a month, I think Frolik once or twice a month could play on the PK. If you're looking for a guy to play once or twice a month on the PK, and you need a guy to do that for the minimum, JT, you got your guy. And that's pretty much what he did. And I think he had like eight games in Montreal last year and was on the taxi squad most of the time. And then a couple
games. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, but you know what? That's about the pace that our guy Delarose played.
How will history remember Jeff Gordon, the Jacob Delarose era?
Not too many goals, Tom. I mean, he was the guy too.
You know, he was a fine guy from the little we ever bothered to talk to him. But he was not the guy that people congregated to. But part of the great Swedish exodus on the Blues, just not nearly as many Swedes.
To Tom's chagrin, I think if Tom were not a U.S. citizen, I think he would be Swedish. Maybe if there's reincarnation, he was a Swede in the past life. Am I wrong or right there, Tom?
Well, Canadian would be my first choice just for the anthem. But then, yeah, Swedish would be a good place. They do things well there. Yeah. It's too darn cold, though, would be my complaint.
Yeah, just to touch on Sanford again, because we got to get after somebody. We can't dog Thomas today because he got his contract. So we'll get on Zach. You know, you're looking, JT and Tom, you're gonna be looking at, you know, storylines in camp. And yeah, I think this is it for me. This is Zach's year. It is or it isn't. Either he makes it this year, or he takes that step, or he starts bouncing around. You know, as a big guy, the teams will take a look at, because he's got some ability. He can play, but can he make a difference, or is he just going to be a guy that plays, JT?
I'm getting the lighter fluid. I'm putting it on his hair, and I'm lighting it on fire. That's the guy needs to play with his hair on fire. Is he not capable of it? Is it not in his constitution? I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. And I got to say, I kind of reached the stage last year where I kind of seen enough, you know, but they brought him back. You know, he does flash even in what we thought was a bad year. Did he end up with 12 goals? Didn't he have, you know, double figures? So, but yeah, he needs to get going. And with other players gone, there's no doubt that Zach Sanford he's going to the top of the list of Blues fans' number one whipping boy. There's no doubt about that. I am more than willing to admit I'm wrong if he comes out and plays. It certainly won't be the first time, but definitely needs to show something this year.
I think we're looking at Zach Sanford. I think he's going to be a third or a fourth line guy, and it might be that the fourth line is the place for Zach Sanford, that the goal scoring, while there, is not what he's going to earn a living doing, that he's a really good defensive forward. He'll kill penalties. He'll, you know, play against another team's top line, but, you know, expecting offense out of him would be just the wrong image to have of Zach Sanford, I think.
Well, there is a living to be made, Matt, for sure. And if that's how he can define himself, then maybe there is a place beyond this year. Cause we all had Sanford on the, and Vince Dunn on that, expansion list, take these guys. I think Vince was obviously a great grab for both a great move for him and for the Kraken. Cause I think he's going to have a heck of a year. And I mean, poor Zach, by the end of the year, it's like, boy, he just sort of slowly faded out of the picture. It was just, like I say, it's just weird. And I hope there's a sense of renewal there, because, this is a guy who scores a big goal in game 7 of a cup final. He's a guy that, you know, just a lot. He's a really good guy. He's been a good teammate. He's been in the organization a long time. And he's just that occasional four goal out person. And right. It's like weeks of like,
Yeah. Some good hands. And every now and then he'll actually get in front of the net, which was a scarce commodity for the Blues, and deflect one. But you could just tell by the end of the season, I mean, his confidence was just nowhere. And confidence seems to be, especially for the younger players, but really for all hockey players, maybe it's true for all professional athletes. I don't know. It's just such an important factor. And his confidence just looked shot last year. So he needs like you said, a sense of renewal this year, and maybe a quick start will help him.
You know, I was always thinking back, this is not pertinent to any of this, but in that 4-goal game Zach Sanford had against Vegas, that game went to overtime. He did not get on the ice in overtime. That just says something about whether coaches' brains or whatever, but the man had scored 4 goals in a game. It went to overtime. He did not get on the ice in a 3-on-3 situation.
So. Now, moving on to the defensive core. So I like the set of off. I like the forward combinations. There's myriad opportunity, myriad options for the coach. The Chiefs got all sorts of things to choose from, multi-positional guys. Getting Bozak back is helpful. He's got a couple older guys coming in to help in the preseason games. He's got his young guys under contract. He can mix and match a lot of guys. I think there's reason for excitement with Saad coming in and Buchnevich. So I think that's all going to be just a natural process of sorting. But then I look at the blue line, and, you know, Doug Armstrong at one point, you know, termed the defensive core last year as patchwork. And really all they've done is subtract Vince Dunn, who's a bit redundant with the puck moving. And right now that's where they are. And I still get the sense that it's not the ideal mix. And there just seems like a lot of work on that back end, JT.
For sure. And they need to get a lot better in front of the net, keeping guys from, you know, all but pitching the old tent stakes in front of the net. So are they capable of that? I mean, they should be, But that was the one thing that was the most noticeable about the group. The Blues decor used to be a lot harder in front of the net. So in theory, let's assume Parayko's back is okay now. That the top four is at least solid. Your top seven, I mean, not, you know, it looks like Mikula and Wallman showed enough that they'll get a chance with Bortuzzo. And after that, though, I mean, the depth drops off. Perunovic was outstanding up in Traverse City. But, boy, if they have some injuries there, anything like last year, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
It is a leap of faith for the Blues defensemen this year, in which they, when you really don't add anyone and say, okay, we had trouble with this last year, and we're going to hope is everyone is better. It almost in some way seems like a Cardinals approach. Everyone's just going to be better this year. But Mikula should be better. Wallman should be better. Parayko, plenty of reason to think he'll be better. Falk got better last year. Krug started to get better. Scandella didn't do as well last year. There is improvement potential for all of these guys, but you know, when you say, and we're betting on six or seven guys all playing better, that's tough. Though, you know, also expecting one person to come in and drastically change the situation may also be something. I think they need to think, I mean, it's going to be a collective effort on everyone getting better, and it's going to help the defense. The forwards are going to have to help the defensemen too on making them look better.
Yeah, let's start with Marco Scandella. You know, when he originally came in on short notice, you have that emergency. You need a guy to plug in, and I think he did quite well. He's never going to be Jay Bouwmeester, but he could come in and assume some of that role. But I thought, you know, just got exposed, and a lot of it was just the fact that they just didn't have the defensive chemistry as a group and didn't have the depth in the defensive core, and guys were put in positions, with a struggling Parayko and an absent Parayko and Krug adapting and Falk trying to assume a different role and Nico not quite being ready. I mean, there's just a lot going on last year. And unfortunately, when Marco came in, he came into a great situation that he needed to plug a hole that was a pretty big one, but he was surrounded by, successful group. But then it seems like when that's successful and there's no Petro and there's no healthy Parayko, well, you know, it looked like Marco really at times had a tough year last year.
Well, especially later on in the season, I thought, you know, and he's a guy obviously that would benefit from a healthy Parayko. And I think going in, they thought maybe Vince Dunn would graduate to that number four role and take some of those minutes, especially situationally. That never really happened. And, he at his best, he's a solid guy, but I don't know what to expect from him this year. Hopefully he can start out like he did last year and just kind of maintain that.
Yeah, the 2019-20 season was the best of years for Marco Scandella. It was excellent timing for him. He had a good year that year, and his numbers had been heading down, and he sent them back up. So he's got to recover that. He's not, you know, he's still, was he, is he 31 right now? So he's still at a point where he's not over the hill. There's still, he can hold this ground. He needs to get back to where he was, not last year, but the year before, where he was good both on offense and defense in the 19-20 season.
Here on the net front, I think we did a pretty good job last year of trying to pump the Nico Mania movement. But boy, at the end of the day, when you look at some of the analytics and you look at where he is on those the graphs and some of the other measurables, it wasn't a really pretty picture for the amount of time he did play. I mean, he looks the part. He's got some physical ability. He's got some experience now. He's been exposed to the NHL, but I guess it just comes down, he's got to be way better on the puck, stronger on the puck. And to your point earlier, JT, around the net, man, he's got the little, you know, he's got the makeup, physical makeup to be helpful in that area. But boy, now it's time. If there ever was a time for Nico Mania to really take hold, it's this year with this team. They need him to take a step.
Well, you see the long reach, and he can be effective there. He's got a little bit of, you know, an edge to his game, a little sandpaper to his game, and you like that. But he spent a lot of time in the weight room. He needs to get stronger. And in terms of the exits with the puck, that was kind of the main thing. Sometimes it seemed like he was rushed, that wasn't sure what to do. And was that partly because of inexperience or partly because of maybe that's who he is? Some players don't see the ice as well as others, but the potential's there. But if he just works on even getting stronger, that'll help. And you see a guy like Santini, he got rid of the puck quickly. He didn't worry about skating, fancy exits. Maybe Mikola needs a little bit more of that approach. Just get it out of my hands as quickly as possible.
And Nico Mikola is the Blues defenseman out of Central Casting. I mean, if you're going to draw a picture of what you think a Blues defenseman should look like, it's going to be Nico Mikola. He's got to live up to that. Offensively, he just couldn't get anything done last year. You know, defensively, he held his own, but offensively, it's nothing coming out of him last year. So he's got to get better at that. But defense is where everything is going to begin with this team, as we have often discussed.
So let's move on to Torrey Krug. You know, a lot of fans got down on Torrey because it's tough. You're replacing Petro. You're trying to adapt to a new team. You don't really get a chance to do all the things that you normally would coming into a new city and a new team to get acclimated because there's a pandemic. You just have to kind of jump in and try to make your way. By the latter half of the year, I think Blues fans started seeing Torrey Krug be Torrey Krug. But he is an offensive player. So for me this year, maximize his offense. You have him concentrate on, you know, power play, offensive zone starts, keeping the puck in the offensive zone. And what you get out of him defensively, I mean, he's a competitive player, but for this to work, he's just got to have a big offensive year, because trying to make there's going to be a limit to what he can do, you know, at the other end. So he's just got to be for this contract to pay off, JT, I think they've got to make the power play work with him, and they've got to make the offensive zone starts work for him, and he's got to pile up 60 points.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, there's a hope that he'll have a Falk-like second season. I don't know if it's reasonable. It may be logical to think that would happen. It may not happen, but he was really good on the power play the last stretch of the season. Then he got hurt for a bit, but then he came back and did some more good things. What you'd like to see, even with smaller players, just by positioning and leverage, you can be effective. And I this is defensively, and I think he needs to somehow work on that. They need to stress that coaching wise. But yeah, you're right. The offense is what'll carry the day with him, whether having him as successful or not.
Yeah, he better be good on offense, because defense isn't going to be there. Though, as I often argue in the chat, I mean, you don't have to be big to be a good defenseman. You know, Jared Spurgeon, excellent defenseman, not tall. And so it's not that you have to be 6'4" with arms that, you know, can touch both boards at the same time. It was not a good defensive season for Krug last year. Offensively was pretty good, but defensively wasn't there. And I wonder last year if people thought of him as being Petrangelo's replacement, or if the way the year worked, if it just didn't have that feel. I didn't sense that people were like, Torrey Krug is no Alex Petrangelo. And maybe just because going in, they thought Torrey Krug is no Alex Petrangelo. So it was kind of stopped before it started, but it might've been, as difficult as the adjustment was in some ways, I don't know that there was the anticipation last year for Torrey Krug that there might have been in other years. It wasn't like an Eric Brewer situation.
Oh God. Yeah. poor Eric. And it does go back to the point of how last year, one of the reasons last year went awry was, well, you know, losing Petro was unfortunate. Replacing him with a different type of player, to Tom's point, created a different type of defensive core. And combined with, you know, injuries and the difficulties of getting the time in to try to mold things, it was not a good fitting unit. And I question whether it's, you know, that it's still the issue. And I question whether JT Doug's, you know, we've talked about this again and again on the net front. I think he's got to do something with this defensive core. I think he's got to make a change. Now the offseason did not offer any opportunities. Alec Martinez stayed where he was. He loves it in Vegas. The Kraken went out and got a couple defensemen this team could have certainly used, maybe three of them on their blue line, guys that this team could have used to make a difference. And I still look at it as you know, work needs to be done on the roster. I'm not convinced. Perunovic, great, but he's another Torey Krug. Well, I argued in my column today, you need two Parekos, not two Krugs. And I wonder if the pieces are still ill-fitting.
Yeah, no. And the Blues did until the playoffs, but down the stretch, they did play better defensively. But, I think it's Tom alluded to earlier, just to think that take the approach, well, maybe 6 out of 7 of these guys are going to improve. It just doesn't happen that way. Plus, as I pointed out, if they have injuries, if they lose 2 or 3 of these guys at a time, you know, they could really be hurting, because it's just not there in the AHL. Tyler Tucker is kind of a limited skater. He sure plays with a nasty edge, but he's not ready. Perunovic, again, is an offensive guy. And Springfield had to sign some, just like, I guess, street free agents, sign guys AHL contracts just to fill out their roster of defensemen. Now, the Blues have some other young guys in the system that are a couple years away, but that weren't in Traverse City, like Leo Loof's already playing in Finland in a pro league, and at Kessel, who had a real good year for UMass, that won the national title in hockey. He's playing in college, so he wasn't there. But there are like warning signs in all different areas in terms of the defense and what they might have. And you talk about allocating your resources, and Doug Armstrong chose to with the limited amount of money he had available, he chose to get a couple of pretty good forwards in Buchnevich and Saad, and not to get the defense. And I agree with you, Jeff. I think that's a little bit of a roll of the dice there.
Now, we've talked about this before, but you know, this year, you know, Mikkola and Wallman both have to clear waivers. So if you can't hide them in the minors anymore, so if they are going to take a step, it's, you know, those two guys, you know, one of them could end up being would be expendable in this situation, unless you were able to trade Scandella or Bortuzzo. I don't know that you're going to get a defenseman that much better than those two guys in a trade. That's not going to happen. So you maybe have a chance if you trade a young guy for an older guy. So it's going to be tough. I mean, if someone's going to have to go, and you know, it's Wallman or Mikkola are going to be the guys, because you know, you're not going to send Bortuzzo down to the minors. So that it's going to be a tricky thing to finesse this at this point, if they try to make a trade for a defenseman at this point.
Yeah. I'll throw this name out here too. And it was one that was mentioned to me up in Traverse City, a guy that the Blues signed, Callie Rosen, a defenseman. Their scouts like him. He's a guy that's played some NHL games, maybe a guy to take a look at in camp. But again, you would be talking a third line guy. Let's just say, wow, this guy's pretty good. You're talking a third line guy. You're not talking a top four guy. And I think you can make a case, and I'm sure that's what you're getting at. You need another top four defenseman on this team, right, to really be considered a contender.
And that's so Doug will have to keep the cell phone on as he deals with Vladimir Tarasenko still on the team. Guys, on that front, I guess we'll, you know, happy Vlad back to work. I guess we'll see when the teams get hit the ice. JT, your expectation, a beaming, energized 91, leading drills, yucking it up with teammates, giving, you know, exchanging stick taps with the chief. What do you expect from Vlad when our heroes hit the ice?
He's got a lot of Russians around him now, too. The Blues have like six Russians in their camp. He had like a little barbecue at his place for the guys, and he did the cooking. I mean, Kostin was there, Alexandrov, Buchnevich, Barbashev, whom I'm missing out on. Oh, Torpchenko. So he's happy with the Russians, but we all know how quickly that can change. A couple of weeks, maybe on the second power play unit if he's getting third line minutes instead of second line minutes, we could see Pouty Vladdy at any minute. So I'll kind of believe it when I see it.
I think we'll see him put on a good face, but yeah, the true test will come when minutes start being doled out. And there's a question of how they're going to use him remains one of the big questions, I think, in this camp. Is he top line guy, second line guy, or third line guy? Because they've got forwards. And if not, how does that all play out? That'll be interesting to see. And yeah, how does he handle it? He will put on a good face, but we'll have to see how long that lasts.
Okay, last thing on the net front, looking around the league and the division in particular. Guys, I look at this, I'm starting to work on our capsules for the our preview edition of the for the Post-Dispatch, and man, this division is going to be good. And Kirill the Thrill gets his deal done in Minnesota. I think they're like the seventh best team or sixth best team in the division. Nashville being seven, really only Arizona is awful. I think the other seven teams all have a chance with the rebuilt Blackhawks. Guys, I look at this division, man, I'm thinking these division games, they're going to be something. The Hawks are going to be back. I think Dallas will be much, much better with Tyler Seguin back. I'm excited for the real games, but I think Blues fans ought to be a little bit apprehensive.
Yeah, it's not a given that this is going to be a playoff team. That's for sure. You've got one. I still think Colorado had some depth losses, but I still think you've got one super team in the division. Darcy Kuemper is pretty good, at least as a regular season goalie. And so I don't see much of a drop off there, but I agree there's going to be a lot of competition. And I keep going back to the stat that just is like pounded in my head. This is a Blues team one game under 500 since they entered the Edmonton bubble. So we'll see what happens.
I think any team in this division that has the level of injuries that the Blues had last season is going to be in trouble. If the Blues have injuries like they did last year, not going to be good because there's so much competition. But any team in this division, that's going to be one of the, I think, the key separating points is whoever gets hurt the most is going to pay the price for it, and that's going to cost them. There are some years you can slip by with getting injuries, but do enough and get into the playoffs. I don't think that'll be the case this year in the Central Division.
Yeah, and after we ran down the defensive core, imagine if two or three guys get dinged on the decor blocking shots or whatever, because they like to sit back in their little pack and just absorb shots with their penalty kill. God forbid they go out and chase people and try to pressure the puck. No, they're gonna get in a small huddle in front of the goal and just hope that nobody gets killed by the incoming fire. That became their penalty killing scheme for last year. And what could possibly go wrong? But hey, that's a topic for another day. I'm starting to get volatile about that. So we'll wrap up this edition of the NetFront Presence. We appreciate Jim Thomas and Tom Timmerman coming on board on short notice. Reminder for our readers, there's a lot of stuff coming in the Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com with camp coverage, a big preview edition coming in ahead of the regular season that we're working on. So stay tuned for the NetFront. Check out the website. Get the newspaper. Until next time, for Tom and JT, see ya.